Cropod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anyone, but what is suitable for everybody is the great stuff from our friends at The Famous, iconic wear for bears. Go check out thefamousheadwear.co.uk. Great stuff over there. And if you want to win some stuff from them, scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes on this episode that you're listening to right now. We give away stuff from them every single month here on the Cropod. So check them out, thefamousheadwear.co.uk.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm not following your line of questioning.
Welcome back to Don't Ask Me No Questions here on the Cropod, the first one in about a year. And joining me, Shane, again, Peter Ewart is missing. Pray for Peter. Hashtag pray for Peter. But I have drug out another original Cropodder. One of the most sound cunts.
What are you fucking talking about? I've never been in a podcast before.
Were you on one before? I thought you were here. No. God damn it. I don't know. Well, everybody else was. Hi, Danny.
Probably fucking Dunbar or somebody, right?
I don't know. Everybody else, you know, everybody made an appearance on the original. How the fuck did you never get in? I thought for sure you were on there.
Probably wrote an article or two or something.
I don't know. Yeah, that might be. That might be. Yeah, I mean, those were back in those halcyon days of 2012 when we were all very drunk all the time. So it's hard to keep up.
Yeah, it's all just fucking voices and names at some point, isn't it?
Well, thankfully, you know, nobody at Ibrox now is just waffling around, just saying random shit all the time, trying to cover up for their own ineptitude. But we'll get to that. It's kind of nice here having you. Now, it's a day late, sadly. I hate to say on the anniversary. We're recording this here on Wednesday, the 18th. But happy three-year anniversary of us clinching the league back in 2020 in the third week of October. A far cry from where we are now, but
that feels about not 3 years ago, about 30 years ago.
It almost feels like 2012 is how far away. God damn. Yeah, it's obviously an interesting week. New manager again, part of our annual reset button in we do here in October. And, for people who Danny didn't fucking remember the show. I barely did until I had to go back and listen to how I did these things fucking last night. But, unlike the regular Cropod, which is just 90 minutes of bullshit, and, of course, the regular secondhand news, which is just, I don't know, 20 minutes of me talking, I try to get other people in here. Again, somebody, well, I was trying to give too much credit for being an original Cropodder, so just Danny the asshole off of Twitter.com, RangersTwitter.com here. But Philippe Clement came in, again, said all the right things, which I think is the minimum expectation of a man that we're putting into the most important job in the organization. But impressed. Once the short list became evident, once, thank God, they didn't fucking keep going down the Lampard route. But he was the one out of the names that I was most intrigued by. Muscat didn't really do much for me. And I sick of the Rangers man thing, you know, Beal, Rangers man, Geo, Rangers man. So we've got our Belgians. So what did you make of the first couple days here of our man who actually showed up wearing a belt and can put on a proper suit?
Yeah, it was a relatively well-fitting suit, wasn't it, for once?
Yeah.
A long time at Rangers.
A nice waistcoat. Actually, everything.
Dress themselves first thing of the day, which is quite an attribute to have. But, first of all, it was quite interesting that there was a quote-unquote extensive shortlist. I never knew that shortlists could be extensive. Fair play for making that happen.
Actually the ninth pillar is extensive shortlists.
How many pillars can we have? fuck me. No, we'll get into all that, I'm sure. We've got plenty to talk about in that regard. But with Philippe, or Philip, as Bisgrove called him.
Big Phil.
really assured, really... kind of carries himself well. He seems to have a bit of a presence about him, but that's really based on what fucking 10-15 minutes of that press conference yesterday. It's still very early days to make any kind of assessments, because we've had it all before, haven't we? We've had all the sound bites from everybody, particularly Beal, notably when he said that you would put a take the handbrake off of Giro's team, and then proceeded to put it wildly into reverse into a fucking brick wall. But, you know...
He didn't specify what gear he was putting it into once the handbrake was off. So can't fault him for that one, I guess.
Well, yeah, when you're not specific about things, I guess you can just say whatever the fuck you want. But no, Big Phil. Like I said, really assured. I think... as well, what's quite surprising is we've managed to appoint easily the most qualified candidate for the job. Like you were saying, Muscat didn't really stand out to me. I know a lot of people were keen to have a manager where it was just all out attacking football, but hey, I mean, we've had relative success in Europe in recent years by playing a balanced game. He seems to want his teams to be well organised at both ends of the pitch, while still maintaining a bit of intensity about them, and that sounds fantastic to me. I think if it all comes together the way that he said it should, then, well, that entirely depends on the squad, doesn't it? But if it does come together, then I think we'll be a very finely tuned team of players. And I think it'll translate across competitions. You certainly got a difficult run of fixtures coming up.
No shit.
As far as I can remember, so
into the
flames very, very quickly for Big Phil. Yeah.
I mean, it was encouraging. I worry about him being on Twitter, but that's neither here nor there. But it was encouraging him turning up to training yesterday in a pair of, I think they were Copas, actually. They weren't World Cuppies, but, you know, with the big tongues flapping about. And the stopwatch and the fucking parka that's zipped just so goddamn tight that you can't even fucking move, and just it looked right. And it, goddamn it, even Alex Ray turned up with a set of Puma Kings on. So at least that's encouraging. That's proper football. I might mention that on one of the shows I did toward the end of last week, but you know, all things considered, this is as good of a level of candidate that we could have hoped for. Yes. And I think out of the names that were floated, like Lampard, which again, we'll get to some of this here in a minute, how his name enters the mix in the first place, and you know, Scott Parker for that matter.
Thank fuck. By the way.
I don't watch a lot of Belgian football. I do watch some because, you know, it's part of the ESPN Plus package, and I just sit and watch sport all day, and, you know, fuck it. It's Belgian football. I'm going to watch it. He's obviously won shit as a player and as a coach, which is something we've been lacking, I would say, for quite some time now. You know, obviously Gio had some success in Holland, but of course Beal Well, what had he? Didn't he drop six in a row before we hired him?
Something which, like that. It started very well for him.
Right. Yeah.
It did start well, but it very quickly tapered off. And I think that's just the nature of that league. But I mean, it was a early warning sign, wasn't it? Because we've seen it happen to us this season already.
Yeah. Well, and then, Jesus, you know, God bless Mick and the role he played in 55 and everything else. But, you know, he's going through the, like the 14-year-old breakup thing on socials right now, and then out for his ex to take him back on top of that. that's rough.
Yeah, I mean, it was rough watching him go through the motions and kind of end up really despondent towards the end of his time at Rangers. But yeah, that's neither here nor there.
And listen, man, you're getting paid for 6 months. Sit home. You don't need to go back to work right away. actually do go back to work right away so we can stop fucking paying you. Please.
I'm guessing that's the plan. Fuck about. Stand in a golf course every couple of days and drink whatever fucking cocktails he was drinking on Instagram. But yeah, fucking just whatever. Just fuck off. I've unfollowed him already. That's no harm to be old, but it's it just got very, very tiresome. As it did with Gio,
this is why. I mean, I have a long standing, it's one of the pillars of my online philosophy. I don't follow playing staff and I don't follow coaching staff. No. Because all it will do, look, when they post the innocuous bullshit that football associated people are supposed to post, like, I don't fucking whatever. The only time you care, especially somebody like me with my background in the media, is when they post something that is fucking dumb. And then I'm just going to get pissed off. And on top of that, I'm going to see it anyway, because it's either going to get retweeted or come up in a group chat or fucking whatever. Mm. So, no, all it does is create anger. It'd be like if Ally McCoy texted all of us individually every single time they had a fucking ping pong match. You know, that's
I'd love
that's
that. What, that'd be great.
Well, yeah, actually, I wouldn't mind it either. Actually, now that I think about it.
Well, the issue is with managers in particular. I mean, players are fucking bad enough. They're all stupid as fuck. But as I'm sure we'll get into with our young lad Todd soon enough. But honestly, I would have been really happy if Phil had just patched all of the social media, and just even if he still had it for whatever sake he maybe has to, just post up you with a picture of a trophy at the end of the season. I don't give a fuck about the rest of the other stuff, mate.
Nope.
You know, the fucking empty platitudes about I love the passion for this club, and you know, I really don't want to get on his back straight away, but fuck me, shut up. Honestly, I couldn't give less of a shite.
But no.
Anyway,
get this thing. Look. If Tab starts popping up at the back post again, scoring, then yes, I will be very happy. That's what I want. I want that. I want shiny silver things. Mm-hmm. I want to beat them. There you go. That's those are my requirements and wants out of the manager position. Mm. That's all you gotta do, Phil. I'll be fucking happy. I'll work on my university level French that I haven't used in 15, 20 years to be able to try to say your name correctly. It's not going to happen. No. It's not going to happen. But I will make the fucking effort for you. That is the level of love and commitment I have to this relationship until you start fucking losing matches, at which point you can get the fuck out.
Until he drops points away to St. Johnston, then it's very, very quickly get the fuck out of my club. I love you for now, but please go away. No, with Phil and his background, I think it's really important to highlight not just what he's done, but how he's done it. And don't get me wrong, Shane, I've watched not a fucking second of Belgian football. So I'm not qualified to talk
about it. I am the expert here.
Any kind of way. But from what it seems like, he seems to be good at improving players, which is number fucking one for us.
Yeah.
That's kind of going to be the main pillar of his job, because we are...
Are we on 10 or 11 fucked. Now?
We're pretty fucked with the size and the shape of the squad.
Yeah.
The age of it, the wages that everybody's on, you're not really going to get people out the door in January very quickly either. He's kind of stuck with this group as it is. And he's right, there's definitely more in it there. There's probably four or five key players that can start every week and drag us along. But you're still asking some of the old boys in amongst that group, and their legs are quite clearly, they're not quite gone yet, but they're going. Looking at Tav and Goldson, as harsh as I think people have been on them, it's, you know, you certainly notice these things over time.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, I think Tav will still be quite easily our best player in the team.
For the time being, definitely.
Yeah. You know, that's something the support just has to come to accept, whether people want him stripped to the captaincy or not. But Phil, I'm sure, will figure those things out in time. He seems very forthright about what he wants from his players. I really hope he doesn't suffer their bullshit very, very well. No. Certainly doesn't seem like it. Beale certainly did. Gio certainly did. He says he wants to give everybody a clean slate. That's fantastic. But I hope that that lasts for about a week before he realises that certain individuals should be nowhere near it. Looking at you, John Lundstrom. But yeah. I'm optimistic, like you said. He's quite clearly the best candidate for the job. Everybody else named, I have massive red flags about. I still have a few reservations about Phil, but hey-ho. I really don't think we could have done any better.
Again, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, where else are we going to go? You know, I mean,
guy that's won stuff on quite a few occasions at two different clubs, performed well in a relatively difficult league where there's only one team that is just so far out in front of everybody else.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's what else could we do other than appoint a complete unknown and hope for the best, because those kind of guys need the structure around them to succeed.
Right.
And I'm really not confident that Kevin Muscat would, with just Craig Moore whoring players at him left and centre, random Australian cunts that have never kicked a ball in anger before.
No, with the shape and status of the board and everything else, which, you know what, we're gonna quick break here. We're going to come back in part two. We got a couple more questions here. Don't ask me no questions here with Danny. And we'll talk to you in a minute.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome back for part two. Don't ask me no questions here on the Crow Pod. As always, scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes wherever you listen to this, or you can go to support.thecopelandroad.org. You can get entered to, well, one, you can help me out, help support the show. I'm not David Edgar's fucking heart and hand empire over here. I'm just one guy in a small apartment in Rockford, Illinois. Just trying to
getting
back
on the gravy train, Shane.
Jesus Christ. No, it's awful. I mean, I gotta get a hold of Chris. I mean, let's be honest. That's when I was really raking it in, back in those days. That's what I gotta do. Yeah. No, but we're giving away shit. We're giving away shit. Of course, from the famous every single month, our good friends over there, the Famous Headwear. You can find them at thefamousheadwear.co.uk, and we have added Blue Room Art, who have given us a lovely canvas of Ibrox that would look good in your den or your you know, back garden bar or wherever the, I don't know, put it over your bed. I mean, maybe you want to piss off the missus. Go for it. So we're giving away that one at the end of the month too. Of course, you can find them blueroomart.co.uk. And we release Crow Scarf, which I fucking love saying. So we've got a great scarf that Graham over there at the Famous is commissioned for us. Again, you can follow the links down there in the show notes. We got them up for sale. They're on pre-order right now through November 5th. Then, you know, we're going to set up the other ones. But, we're, you know, very nice. Very, look, it's royal blue. It's got the line rampant on. It looks fucking good. But everything they do looks good. Graham does a good job.
Yeah, it's the first red and blue kind of contrasting item that I've ever seen in my life that actually works.
Yeah.
Because you know all the shit that... goodness knows who was doing it. Well, Bisgrove was in charge of that particular department. But all of the fucking red and blue shit, like the emails that they would send out were like red text on a blue background. I'm like,
yeah,
fucking somebody read it before it gets sent out. But yeah, it's a crack of a scarf.
Yeah, speaking of our brilliant ex commercial director who's elevated himself. See, this is the only shitty part about me taking the time off is that, you know, I've got to catch up on just all the fucking bullshit that people like him. I mean, it's bad enough when Robertson was still here because, you know, Visgrove was kind of off in the background and we didn't really get to have to hold him accountable because he had a boss. Now he is the boss. So, Danny, what the fuck does imminent mean?
Fuck me. 2 days, a week. 6 months.
Maybe not at all. That was the plan before, but now
Well, I found it really funny. Somebody on Twitter, of course, because there's always somebody on Twitter. They were saying something about Bisgrove. They were saying, I can't even remember now. Some utter bullshit. Something about the fact that, oh, well, you know, you all wanted a director of football and now they're appointing one, so why are you fucking angry? Well, maybe it's because we're starting to get a glimpse at what's happening in the background at the football club now. We're actually seeing what a fucking shit show it must be on a daily basis because they seem to make it up as they go along. Either you have a strategy in mind, you have a vision for the club, and ultimately the new CEO has to take charge of that.
Yep.
Where the fuck is it? Because if you're chopping and changing about who you actually want to lead the football department, because there's fucking nobody in that boardroom that has any clue about football, they have to have somebody in place to do that. So it smacks to me like, A, they're just making it up as they go along, but also, you know, do they really want to fork out for it? Do they really want to be paying somebody else another six-figure year salary when, you know, if they get it wrong, they're going to have to sack him again? Because the thing with Wilson was they just held off and held off and held off until somebody actually came in for him. Whether they had any indication that that was going to happen is another matter entirely, but the guy should have been fucking emptied along with Gio immediately after full-time at Celtic Park last September. The window last season was an absolute clusterfuck, as was the one before that and the one before that, and here we are in the past two windows without one, and both have been an absolute shit show. And we really can't allow that to happen again, and thankfully Philippe seems to be really pushing that. It does seem like it was an integral part to him actually taking the job on. But we've seen them promise things in the past to managers and to supporters in abundance and fail on almost every front to deliver.
Just Gio's exit right there. You know, this is not me trying to scapegoat any of the failures that you know, clearly his own. But the way that the window went coming into that last autumn, they hung him out, right? They were either going to look like geniuses for the way they went about conducting their business in the summer, and Gio won, or what happened, and you can pin it all on him. And then somehow you can go, again, a guy, James Bisgrove here, who, again, as commercial director, signed us up to a fucking Turkish money laundering scheme and thought that the fucking friendly in Australia was a good idea and God knows what else, elevates himself. You know, and this is, you know, as you're talking about there, with the, you know, you guys wanted a director of football and now they're trying to get one. Well, at the same time, we wanted a competent CEO, not Stuart Robertson as a managing director. And instead, go find the right people.
Yeah. Pay competent people what they should be paid. And most of the other stuff will take care of itself because they're actually fucking good at their job.
Well, and it's the thing, you know, as we saw with the managerial search, when it became this, you know, search by committee bullshit, and again, with the Lampard stuff, it's a data-driven system, yet somehow we're going to go talk to Souness, and he's going to throw out Lampard, and then we're going to tease that one out for like 3 or 4 days and see what the fuck happens, and then, oh, shit, well, now we can't do that, let's go, you know, you hire a fucking CEO to execute the strategy that the board puts in place. And then you let him go fucking do it.
Yeah.
If you hire the competent person.
It's also you hire a guy that has managed organizational change at that scale before, because an awful lot needed to change. And all that really happened in the summer was the fucking deck chairs got rearranged. A couple of people moved upwards. Fucking Craig Mulholland's T-boy got the director of football operations job. Don't get me wrong, I'm exaggerating slightly. I'm sure he's qualified in some kind of way, but fuck me. Come on, just appoint competent people. It's not a difficult thing to do. Go through the proper recruitment processes to do so. Didn't do that. They looked around and they found the first cunt that actually wanted the job and gave it to him. And now you're seeing a guy that is completely out of his depth exhibit behavior of somebody that's completely out of his depth. He really struggled to speak publicly or in any kind of forthright way yesterday to put his point across about this being his managerial appointment and somehow ignoring Beal happening and piecing all that together with his vision, his strategy and what it's going to be. Oh, we don't know when we'll fucking appoint a technical director or director of football or sporting director or whatever the fuck they want to call it. I mean, you get what you pay for. And we seem to be cheaping out at that level, which is the worst thing to do. Because, you know, look, there's been, this is the fourth manager in 2 years. Two trophies since when we got promoted again in 2016. None of that's fucking good enough. And the only thing that keeps on changing is the managerial team, the playing squad. No real meaningful change at the top level, and that seems to be the root cause of everything. So, yeah, I mean, Bisgrove certainly looks like he's under pressure with that. He's certainly not behaving like somebody that's cool, calm, and collected.
Well, no, let's go back to John Bennett's best in class. I mean, what part of the operation is best in class? I mean, we all hate drawing comparisons to the Green, Easdale, Ashley, however the fuck you want to identify era. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Our legal department is just a fucking ghost town compared to what they have available at their disposal. Again, you know, I'm not going to talk about their manager selection process, but let's be, you know, whatever. If you can get Rodgers back in this league, given the state that we're in, fucking whatever, it's fine. I mean,
and pay for it doesn't really. His wage is going to be fucking mental. Yeah, as it was the last time.
Yeah, but
no, pay for people that are, you know, he's obviously done it there before, but he's regarded as near a top level manager that any club in Scotland could ever have, and they've done so because they fucking paid for him.
Yeah,
and I'm sure we're paying an awful lot more for Clément than we are or did or still are for Beal, and probably still Gio, but you know, fuck me.
I think I'm sure was part of one of the hangups, you know, because Clement, you'd hear it coming out of his people that he was, you know, he was concerned about how little time Gio and Beal spent in the jet. No, what he's concerned about is that Beal only got a 6-month payoff because they didn't make it through 12 months, and there's no way in fuck somebody who's done what he's done in this, you know, in this sport for as long as he's not going to drag his team and his people over here and come do this job with that kind of guarantee, given the complete clusterfuck that the operation is in.
I'd like to know what his break clause is.
Yeah,
I'd imagine he's got a solid year or two at the very least.
Yeah, I would think so.
I really think that this is shit or bust now. I think it's already been there, but I think that's where they are at personally. I think that they probably feel that this has to work or it's all, you know, shit's really going to hit the fan. And I think that's where you're seeing people under pressure. We still have a chairman. We swapped it for the last one that's completely fucking absent, that really doesn't want to speak publicly.
Don't forget, again, going back to his interview from last September when he was still deputy chairman, communication with the fans, the real owners of the club is the most important thing that somebody in that position can do. And hi, John, we're out here.
Fuck's sake. But I personally feel that the chairman role can be quite a symbolic thing, certainly in football nowadays. I think the CEO obviously has to lead first and foremost, but you know, if the guy's completely out of his depth and inexperienced for the role, because, you know, there's been a lot of fuss around Bisgrove, but come on, it comes back to what we're saying, appoint competent people, but if you're appointing somebody that's never been in that role before, of course they're going to be like a fucking fish out of water. But it's just, fuck me, honestly. Why, beyond that too,
with Bisgrove, you know, it's his first time in this role, and you're the people that put him there. So, yeah, I mean, there's going to be a level of fealty in how he goes about his job. I mean, let's be, you know, who's got more power, him as CEO or Park's kid? Right? I mean, come on. We all fucking know the answer.
The guy in the corner with the ball pit and the fucking Play-Doh, or the guy that's been paid an awful lot of money to do an awful lot better of a job than
I mean, he's Robertson again. Fuck it. Last thing.
That's when I'm at too, Shane. Yeah.
I know. Well, it's like, you know, look, it's like I took a year off. Nothing changed. It didn't matter. No. I mean, really.
We said it last September. What is going to change in a year? All right, we got to September again and we got, you know, pumped a few times, and then the manager eventually gets sacked a couple of weeks too late.
Yeah.
We still don't have, I mean, we don't have a director of football at all, but we still don't have a competent one because we certainly didn't last September. And last September, like you alluded to earlier, Bennett came out from under his fucking rock and started talking all sorts of shit about how great the squad was and how great things are going to be and all the changes that are going to happen. And it's just absolutely nothing has come to fruition. So,
no.
Yeah, very, very much at the fuck it, there's fuck all we can do stage. But I really think that the sport need to kind of get wise to that very quickly.
Yeah,
because like I said, two trophies since 2016 and four managers in 2 years. I'm sorry, but that trend doesn't really tend to change without something a bit more significant.
We sit there and look at the let's call it the issues around who's getting the 56 first.
Oh, well, that's... Yeah, there's... Jesus. There's that, but then there's also the fact that they could still overtake our trophy haul with or without getting to 56 before us. Which, in all reality, is... I hate to say it's inevitable. I hate to be that defeatist, but come on. Look at the way things have been. Like I said, look at the trends that have been happening. They are comfortably operating at a level where they can just win everything with relative ease. And really, my thing with Clermont is that, the first trophy would be fantastic. Go and win the League Cup and it sets the tone. But ultimately, what he has to do is win his first 3 to 5 trophies in the next 2-3 years. Because that's what ultimately makes a manager successful. And then on top of that, what are you talking about? Are you saying for the next 10 years that we're going to become the dominant team in Scotland? Right, how are we going to do it? What's the fucking vision for that?
Yeah.
With no director of football, with no influx of funding, you know, you can't fix these problems quickly. And there's really very little in the squad to start pulling in money. I mean, I really wouldn't be surprised if they appointed Clément because he's Belgian, because he might like Raskin, and that might somehow get more out of Raskin. That's the kind of logic that we have to sort of pull out of these guys, because there's fuck all else. They really are pinning their hopes on very little now.
If we're looking at new revenue streams, hopefully here, our last question for this week. Could we do better? I'm not sure we can. The Todd Cantwell doing a regular video podcast, or just give him his own special on Rangers TV here. It's brilliant, engaging program. I do want to give, look, I don't want to slate everything, right? And obviously,
you don't.
The way he goes, well, I do. I'm trying to be nice. Grammarly said my writing had become more encouraging lately, which I still think they sent me the wrong email. But there is something to it that we do want the club to take the fight to people like Chris Sutton. We asked them to do it. The problem is, I don't want it to be a fucking player who's not in the park sitting at home in a flat that's halfway put together in front of a clothes rack and a couple boxes he still hasn't unpacked. Right? That's not his job. That's the job of, you know, the trained communications professionals we have. Yeah, and again, having an organization in place to let them do their fucking job and not be handcuffed because there's no accountability throughout the organization.
Well, that still comes back to Bisgrove, doesn't it? Because it's
yes, 100%.
It's all on his time. But the guy with his background in commercial and marketing, never mind the fact that he failed to understand his consumer on several levels when he was in that role, for all the fuss that has been around him because people like his hair or the fact that he had a McLaren and now a Bentley, like, who gives a fuck? Is the guy good at his job or not? And the evidence, you know, improved the commercial performance of the company, but how difficult was that to do?
Yeah, I mean, you approved it.
It was a fucking
nothing.
Shit show. We had a guy
we were getting like a pound a year from
and we had a guy putting fucking tarpaulins around the fucking the glass staircases at Ibrox and thinking that could be sold as advertising space, for fuck's sake. I mean, it's really not that, it really wasn't that difficult to improve, and anybody with any half measure of competency could have done that role. I'm not saying he did a bad job, but I'm definitely not saying that he did a fucking, you know, excellent job.
Without the clear direction, without that coming from above, this is how, and look, it again, the Sutton thing, whatever, it's fine. It was obviously personal on some level for him, but without the lack of control, again, the lack of it, there lacks accountability at the upper levels of the management structure within the club, and that trickles down throughout everything else. And eventually you're going to get a player to say something really fucking dumb on social media that we're going to have to deal with.
It's never what you do, it's how you do it. With Beal, he loved a fucking blether, didn't he? And did his players. It was just nonstop, just fucking blabbering for no clear purpose at all. I'm quite happy for Todd Cantwell to do a podcast every now and then, but somebody at the club should be briefing him on what, you know, who's asking him questions and what's going to be asked and what should or shouldn't be asked, and B, what are his responses? I'm not saying it should be fucking...
Know the lines. There's no excuse for not knowing the lines.
Just be fucking clear on what you're going to say when you do these things. You know, ultimately, you're a professional when you represent the club. The thing with the Sutton stuff is, He's in that position, and he does what he does for a reason. Yep. You know, he does it to get a reaction. He's doing exactly what is asked of him. Let's be clear about that. Him getting a reaction to Todd Cantwell is really not surprising, as it is not surprising for everybody else that has risen to him. And it's just taking the bait. I do believe sometimes you do have to tackle these things very directly. But with Sutton, it's just, it's only going to end one way. Just don't fucking entertain the guy. It really doesn't matter. He's not the Daily Record. He's not a big fucking entity that you know, can actually really influence people. The only people he can influence is Celtic as a club and Celtic as a support. Yeah. It's fucking pointless engaging with him, but somebody at the club should really have gotten a hold of that early on. But yeah, I do understand it from Cantwell's point of view. It's still just
fine. No, I do too. Well, yeah, I mean, what you said, you know, sometimes you need somebody to tackle him directly. That's what we have Kevin Thompson out there doing his fucking thing for. Right, literally to tackle him directly.
Yeah, yeah. do what Celtic do and have somebody external do it, because it shouldn't be anybody at the club. Nope. Speaking to or about Chris Sutton.
See, but that's part of the problem then too. Again, you know, with the lack of structure in the club and the fact that we can't dictate messaging to people out there, and that's how you end up with fuckers like Ferguson, right? Or Miller and his goddamn columns or whatever. And it's just like, Jesus Christ, because again, like you said, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And if we had well-organized structured systems in terms of performance and like, this is how we do stuff as a club, period. Yeah. You know, then you don't have that kind of output out there.
Yeah. I'm sure these guys could be useful to us in the media. I'm sure that there's probably one or two of them that could be. I mean, Neil McCann is the obvious one. I'd much rather he was doing something than that than all the people that pine for him having a coaching job at Rangers.
Right.
But come on, I don't want to hear anything from Barry Ferguson and Chris Boyd for that matter. Yeah. I mean, Boyd is a perfect example. He's spent, and whatever you think about the Rangers players, whatever you think about Tav Goldson, and whatever you thought about Alfredo Morelos, he was throwing players under the bus left, right and centre, and not a fucking peep was said about the people at the top of the club and why Rangers are not a successful football club at the moment.
Yeah. Meanwhile, he's going out for you know, the ticketed speaking events still and welcoming him with open arms. It's like, do we not remember, like, oh, it's funny when he's on TV laughing at somebody. You know,
For 5 seconds, and then you realize he's just a fucking idiot.
He's a thick fucking footballer. Near a
microphone. Yeah. I hate to go on about it because I'm Alfie's number one fan, but that one in particular really irked me because the guy, the best example of it really, and the point I'm making here is that, you know, why have these guys talk about the team or the players or the club? You know, leave that to somebody else. Leave that to fan media. Why not? Obviously, there's been some guilty parties there with certain players where there's just a fucking pile on. When he was doing that, when Beal first came in, Alfredo had something like 12 goals and assists in 12 games in Beal's first 12, or certainly from the point that he was available onwards. Yes, he was unfit. I mean, he just spent the whole of pre-season out injured, and then we rushed him back. What the fuck are you going to get out of that, really? He's not going to be fit at any point in the season, besides the fact, I mean, he came back and he started, you know, contributing more than anybody else up front. And there's Chris Boyd front and centre, calling him a fat, useless bastard. Which, by the way...
Chris Boyd calling somebody a fat, useless bastard. I'm sorry, how many European games did you get to start? Because they were... Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
How many subbed
yourself off in the Scottish Cup game because it was a little bit too warm?
How many European finals did you drag us to, Chris, by the way?
Yeah.
Because that's another thing that's forgotten about with Morelos and that kind of run towards the
every big goal we needed.
You know, he was injured for the latter half of it, but look at the goals that he contributed to get us there. Look at his performance in Dortmund. Like, And I'm pretty sure during that time frame, Chris Boyd was still sticking the fucking boot into him. So that if that's the club strategy to let these guys go out there and just fucking unload on our own players, then I really don't know what the strategy is intended as. That's all they seem to do.
There
doesn't seem to be any kind of positive input from them regarding the club. So that's the point.
Just as one, you know, fucking that one last positive note since we bought, Alfredo there. I would love to give credit because I actually had the match on here, his very first appearance in Brazil. And within the first half, I believe it was described by whoever was doing like the live match feed for whatever outlet it was as an absolute horror tackle from Alfredo Morelos, who's lucky to only see yellow. And I can tell you sitting here watching the game, yes, it fucking was, and I fucking loved it. I love that man. Goddamn.
Yeah. I mean, look, we've been saying between us, Shane, for quite a while, how many more bastards do we need in the team? You know, how much more edge does the team need? And at least Alfie gave you that. I know he's probably, his time at Rangers was probably a little bit too long-lived, and that's our fault. primarily.
Oh, it's Ross Wilson's fault, but yes.
It's everybody's fault. It goes back to Robertson saying that he wanted Dembele money for him. I mean, for fuck's sake, sell a player at the right value at the right time, and guess what? We might have not had two failed rebuilds in the past however many windows. We might have actually used that money to improve the
Well, game. No, we wouldn't have done anything good with it. No.
That's another thing alongside everything being fucked, Shane, is that if we had money, we'd just piss it up the wall anyway. So,
yeah.
Like the Champions League, apparently that's just a financial burden.
Obviously, yeah. No, we've had a managing director tell us that, a CEO tell us that, you know. A deputy chairman, now chairman, tell us that. He's never going to tell us that again because he's never going to get back behind the microphone. But
well, we're never going to get anywhere fucking near the Champions League again while he's there. So,
God damn.
No, fucking sorry. Let's try and be positive. Maybe focus.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe. Well, here, we can be positive because, again, go check out everything. Like I said, go down and hit the show notes. Hit the Buy Me a Coffee link. Go support that thecopelandbro.org, whatever. And we've already given away a shit ton of stuff from the Famous this month. We're giving away more stuff from them. Even more stuff from Graham. And, of course, our friends now over at Blue Room Art, they're giving us a canvas for this month. And next month, we're going to do some more stuff with them, at least coming up through Christmas here. So, you know, support the show. Look at all this fucking content you're getting. God damn, I've done two of my own shows today and two shows for some other cunts, too. Like, this is a fucking hell. I told you guys, if you weren't sick of me on the Crowpod comeback tour, you're going to be. Pretty goddamn soon, because I'm in your ears everywhere all the fucking time. So, Jeez. DJ, Danny, we will bring you back because, again, I think Peter might be dead. I don't know.
We're on a hill somewhere.
Are there a lot of hills in Qatar or Abu Dhabi or wherever that? I don't even know which one he's in. He's somewhere down there. Doing something.
I just remember his intermittent connection on
Oak Park. Oh, he sounded like he was in a fucking Soviet submarine, man. It was just God. He's just sitting at the bottom of the North Sea somewhere, just hoping to be rescued. Nobody's coming. No one's coming. No, go ahead, you can find that on Twitter. Give it at DJ_1872. It's been a pleasure, buddy. No, it's just the most moaning, bitching, whinging shit
about
ever.
Everything. Somebody yesterday had a go at me for complaining about something. They didn't even follow me, and I was like, "Why the fuck did I do this?" It's really just it wasn't even related to the tweet that he was replying to. It was about a tweet the other fucking day. Fair play, crack on, mate, pal. Honestly, don't fucking follow me. It's my place to vent about Rangers. It's all I do. I'm actually quite an optimistic person.
I think we both are. It's just, you know,
it's just Ranger fucking ruins a day and week and month and year and decade.
Yeah.
So.
Well, coming up Saturday, because we play at, was it not 9 a.m. here? And then, of course, my Tennessee Vols play Alabama at 2:30 in the afternoon. So I'm just you guys might have to call the Illinois State Police and send out a party to find me. By about 6:30 that fucking day, because it's if everything goes well, I'm gonna be in a great mood and enjoying it. And if everything goes poorly, I'm gonna be in a horrible mood and enjoying it. So, and either way, the outcomes are fairly similar a lot of the time.
Shane wins and he's back on the fucking gravy train, by the way, right? Always good.
All right, that's it. We'll talk to you guys soon. If you haven't got it yet, go back. We did a full Crowpod today. I don't know. We'll have some secondhand news here later on this week as we keep rolling out more shows. And as a bad outro, but you guys know how this shit goes. So we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah.
I mean, you can't be fucking serious at all.